Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. It's written by Dr. Mark Wood, Director of Witness and Outreach for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Learn more about Connected to Christ at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life, issuesetc.org or 1-800-325-3040.
You know, if you look at the whole history of communism and really any totalitarian movement, fascism as well, one of the first things they have to do is destroy that family unit.
We should never intend for this kind of thing to happen at all. No insurance company should be paying for it. No doctor should be in this line of business. This isn't medicine. This is manufacturing orphans. That's what this is.
We should have a real conviction that speaking the truth simply and plainly actually has far more power, it's far more penetrating than we might assume otherwise.
Jesuit by the name of Adam Conson, about 100 years after the Reformation, said Luther had destroyed more souls with his hymns than with all of his writing and preaching combined.
School custodians love Issues Etc.
The AP headline reads, "Millions skipped church during pandemic. Will they return?" Well, you can quibble with the headline. People didn't voluntarily skip church. They were told to stay home, and many of us did stay home for a time and then went back to church or didn't, depending on what state you lived in. But the second part of that headline is a valid question. Will they return? Some churches are back to full capacity, and some are having a hard time getting back to full capacity, not because of restrictions, but because people would prefer to stay home and maybe just watch it or maybe not watch it on a live stream. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking with Dr. Mark Wood about this Associated Press story on church attendance post-pandemic. Then we'll continue our series on cultural Marxism, the tactics of cultural Marxists, with Pastor Paul Dare. Joining us to discuss an Associated Press story on church attendance post-pandemic, Dr. Mark Wood. He's Director of Witness and Outreach Ministry and the Revitalization Initiative for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life. Dr. Wood, welcome back.
It's great to be with you, Todd.
If you would, paint a picture of the post-COVID situation for many Christian congregations.
Well, it's a little hard to do that because I don't know that we're post-COVID, and the way things are going, I'm not sure we're going to be anytime soon with these variants that are coming out. And that really is a cause for concern for many of our congregations, because COVID itself, our first pass through it, you know, resulted in a lot of people absencing themselves from, you know, gathering for worship. And studies that were done during the pandemic indicated that somewhere in the neighborhood of 20% of congregants would not be returning to in-person worship services after the pandemic. And if this drags on or we go through another iteration, I think we can expect those losses to increase. And those kind of losses can really be, well, catastrophic for small congregations especially. And congregations that were already struggling to remain viable may find that struggle is over if they lose 20% or more of their active worshipers.
Was it wise for congregations to initially shut down entirely and then almost immediately go to only online services for months and months?
Well, whether it was wise or not, it certainly wasn't good. It's hard to say it's wise or not, because every congregation had its own struggles and context and things to deal with. In some places, there were no restrictions on gathering in person. And so certainly it would not have been wise in those situations to shut down. But in other places, the government was very adamantly keeping people from gathering. And there was that tension between the two kingdoms. You know, maybe we would have done things differently if we had realized how long this was all going to drag out. But it certainly was not good. It wasn't good for the church, and it wasn't good for our parishioners. And it turns out it wasn't good for our church workers either. In retrospect, if we could do it all over again, hopefully the Lord doesn't have that in mind for us. I would hope we would do it differently, that we wouldn't resort to the tactics of dealing with the pandemic as we did the first time through.
How has COVID alienated us from one another?
Well, it's interesting to just observe what's going on now that many areas have lifted their mask mandates and how people are responding. During the pandemic, when we had to all cover up and stay 6 feet away, I observed a lot of people who were just very tense around other people. It's almost as though we've become each other's enemies, that each one of us is a threat to the other. So even in our congregations where we separated ourselves by physical distancing, we covered ourselves up with masks. I was recently traveling and there was a couple with a daughter, and you know, the daughter was maybe 6 or 7 years old, and as children do, she was coughing and they said, "Cover your mouth." 2 years ago, that wouldn't have really bothered too many people except the real germaphobes, but everybody around got very tense when this girl was coughing. And I think that's really the result of COVID, where we see each other as threats to our own health and well-being.
You hinted at this a moment ago, but why will some congregations simply close post-COVID?
Yeah, post-COVID is a good description, and rather than saying because of COVID. Many of our congregations have been in a long, slow decline, and are really on the cusp of viability or sustainability. They haven't done the things to address that before COVID, and COVID became sort of the last straw for many of these congregations. In that Associated Press article that you referenced, this was seemed to be the theme over and over again as they talked to church leaders. It's things weren't going well before COVID. COVID finally did us in. And I'm afraid that congregations that are not going to survive the pandemic are really congregations that were already to the point of one more bad thing, whether it's COVID or having to have a roof repair or having their air conditioning system go out. They didn't have the reserves. They didn't have the means of dealing with those things because they'd been in decline for so long.
Will the pandemic permanently change some aspects of congregational ministry?
I think it has. I hope that the full impact of that isn't what we're seeing today. We still see congregations who are social distancing, closing off pews, encouraging people to use online services. Those are some things that I hope fade away as we get through the pandemic and the immediate threat of additional variants has gone away as well. But I think once as the old adage goes, once the toothpaste is out of the tube, it's hard to put it back in. And we've introduced some things that people like. Many people prefer worshiping from home, in the comfort of their home. They prefer watching a recorded version of the divine service when it's convenient for them, when they get around to it, or if they're not particularly pleased with their local congregation and pastor, they can just tune in to somebody who pleases them from another congregation, maybe a different state, maybe across the country. I know people who have actually watched multiple services on any given Sunday because they can. And so returning to the local congregation, the body of Christ in one place, is going to be a challenge for some people who have kind of tasted this other way of worshiping and prefer it over gathering in person.
Talk about the return of pastoral visitation.
Probably the biggest challenge we've seen in the pandemic is for pastors to get to their parishioners. I know that I was helping a congregation in Florida during the pandemic, and I could not go and visit the shut-ins. We had people who were nearing the end of their life, and I was prohibited from giving them pastoral care. So there's a heightened sense among our church workers and our members of the importance of being able to have the pastor attend to you, especially when you're unable to come in person to the divine service. The kind of unusual ways, creative ways that some pastors had gone about being able to visit people and bring the sacrament to them, kind of highlighted to them how important this is. So the challenge is going to be the number of people who need visits. For all those people who don't come back after the pandemic, they need a visit. And if we lay that purely on our pastors, they're going to be overwhelmed. So pastoral visitation, critically important, but we need to find a way to supplement that so that the pastors aren't the only ones making visits as we try to gather people back around our altar and pulpit.
Dr. Mark Wood is our guest. We're talking about an Associated Press story on church attendance post-pandemic. Millions skipped church during the pandemic. Will they return? There's a lingering fear of public gatherings. How should the church address it? Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. It's written by Dr. Mark Wood, Director of Witness and Outreach for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Learn more about Connected to Christ at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life, issuesetc.org or 1-800-325-3040.
Job saw the city as a wasteland, as if devoid of God, witnessing injustice to the poor by the corrupt, lawlessness of criminals, trafficking of children, blatant immorality, thinking God could not see wicked deeds done in the dark of night. Yet God never abandoned Job, nor his city, groaning for mercy. God is working through the living Redeemer, hands etched with salvation, pointing to the resurrection to come. Join us at lcms.org/citymission to seek peace and shine the light in the city.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
St. Paul Lutheran School of Hamel, Illinois is the only classical Lutheran school in Greater St. Louis. We're looking for a first and second grade teacher for the 2021-2022 school year. We pay 100% salary scale for the Southern Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Other benefits include full health care coverage, retirement and disability, and continuing education assistance. For more information, email jeff@issuesetc.org. jeff@issuesetc.org.
Christian greeting card makers, gift shop owners, laser cutters, church banner creators, ornamentalists, poster purveyors, jewelry designers, fine artists, hymn writers, wood carvers, UV bed printers, and authors all love Issues Etc. And you'll find our work at adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
We're discussing an AP story on church attendance post-pandemic with Dr. Mark Wood, Director of the Revitalization Initiative for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. The Lutheran Witness magazine interprets the world from a Lutheran perspective. An annual print or digital subscription is less than $20. Learn more at lcms.org/witness or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, the Lutheran Witness magazine. Dr. Wood, there is a lingering fear of being in public gatherings for many people. How should the church address it?
Yeah, that, I think that fear is very real for some people. You know, the vaccines were promised to be the answer, but now we're hearing reports where the vaccines are not as efficacious as perhaps they first thought they would be. That study I mentioned earlier from Barna, many of the people who said that they were reluctant to return did say that once a vaccine was available, then they'd come back. But that's not what we're seeing. There's an underlying fear that people have. And I think that the church needs to address fear, this fear, as it addresses any fear, that the answer is not in being afraid. The answer is in Christ, and to focus people on Christ and how he has overcome our fears. And not let that fear get in the way of being part of the worshiping community, not, you know, keeping them away from God's good gifts that he gives in a divine service.
Why is a virtual service no substitute for gathering in person?
The virtual services have been a blessing on one hand because they have made it possible for people during a pandemic to at least hear the word of God and receive that good gift. There also have been a blessing to people who have been shut in, who were unable to come to worship services in person before the pandemic and might have been treated a little bit more of an afterthought. You know, we'll mail you the service or, you know, somebody will come by and drop off a recording. Now they're able to participate real time. And I think that's good in that sense. But as anybody who is homebound will tell you, they miss being in church. They miss being able to come and be in person. And why is that? Well, it's because we are meant to be in community. We are meant to gather together as the body of Christ. And there is no substitute for being together. You know, our whole understanding of Christ didn't phone it in, so to speak, from heaven, but came in the flesh, in person, and dwelt among us. And he calls us to gather together, to dwell together, to serve together, to receive his good gifts together. And we can't do that isolated, separated physically in our own homes, in our own little worlds. We can do that when we come together. Even that mutual conversation and consolation of the brethren is something that is best done in person. So just to reinforce that we are the body of Christ and we are an incarnational people, you can't replace that online.
My congregation, while kind of following the same path that many congregations did initially in COVID, has been pressing pretty aggressively toward kind of a return to normalcy, if one can speak it, say that way. But the one thing that they're still struggling with is the returning to the use of the common cup. Why is that practice important?
Well, the common cup goes along with that incarnational nature of the body of Christ. It's that unifying element of the sacrament where we share from the one cup. You know, the individual cups were introduced during our lifetime, and they seem to be the preference of many people. So there's some symbolism lost there when we take little individual cups versus the common cup. I think we've resigned ourselves to the idea that it's better that people take individual cups and receive the blood of Christ than they'd receive nothing at all. But that resignation doesn't do away with the fact that we're missing something. The one cup we share, as the scripture talks about it, we've found a way to break it up and make people more comfortable, but we've also taken something away when we've done that. Now, post-COVID, it's going to be interesting to see how many people return to using the common cup who were accustomed to doing so before the pandemic. And it goes back to that whole fear thing, afraid of contracting a disease. And here we just take that step of faith of saying, no harm will come to me. There's no poison in this cup. And I'll trust Christ over being afraid of what the world tells me to be afraid of.
Why do Christians have a reason for confidence in the face of a post-COVID world?
Well, for the same reason we have confidence in all the things that we face, you know, that we are Christ and Christ is ours and he has overcome the world. We have nothing to fear from whatever, whether it's COVID or the 30 years war or the plague or any of the things that the church has faced over the centuries, including persecution. We probably have no more reason to be concerned about the persecution that the church is about to face in our changing culture than we do COVID itself. But even then, we don't have to be afraid. Christ has overcome, and we are in his hands, and he has appointed the number of our days. So I'm going to die one day. I know that. Whether I die from COVID or die as a martyr for the faith or die of old age in my bed, that day has been set and it's in God's hands. And I don't have to be afraid. My whole life is in his hands. And when I do die, be it COVID or something else, I know I will be with the Lord. and nothing can separate me from his love. And so there's our confidence. So whether we live or whether we die, we belong to the Lord.
Finally, you are the author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life. Tell us about this new resource.
Yeah, well, you know, appreciate you highlighting this book as the Book of the Month. It's a short little book that's a condensation of the things that I've been teaching and as part of the Everyone as Witness Evangelism program. It's condensed and represented, but the whole idea behind the book is just to find joy in being a witness of Christ. And we're called to be as witnesses in the context of our everyday lives with the people that God's already put into our lives or the people he'll bring into our life. That witnessing isn't, you know, going to the doors of strangers and confronting people in some legalistic way, but witnessing is bringing the good news of Jesus to people who are perishing. Or as I like to picture it, it's, you know, we are the hungry beggars who have found by God's grace this beautiful feast. And now we have the privilege and the joy of inviting other hungry beggars to come take a seat at the feast of our King. And so in this book, there's some just practical advice and insights and stories about how to be a more active and effective witness with the people in your everyday life.
Dr. Mark Wood is Director of Witness and Outreach Ministry and the Revitalization Initiative for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life. You can purchase Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or at issuesetc.org. Dr. Wood, thank you very much.
Oh, pleasure being with you.
Our series on cultural Marxism continues on the other side with Pastor Paul Dare. We're going to talk about the tactics of cultural Marxists and why it's sometimes impossible or at least very difficult to have a conversation with someone who believes in cultural Marxism.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue feasting our way through 1 Corinthians with spiritual gifts for the common good. One body, many members, no divisions, and first apostles. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
What does it mean to live the Christian life? Reaching out in mercy to our neighbors, receiving our Lord's gifts in worship, and proclaiming His truth to the world. The Lutheran Church Extension Fund comes alongside churches and individuals to help them live out this beautiful Christian life every day. This year, we have a ripe opportunity to bring Christ to a hurting world. Discover the role you can play in this great work. Call 800-843-5233 or visit lcef.org.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12 and is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues Etc., 713-855-2681.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The world is filled with darkness now. It's maybe darker than it's ever been before.
Issues Etc. guest Dr. Adam Kuntz.
The reason to come to Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne and to study to be a pastor is so that the light of Christ can shine that much more brightly. It's not a time for retreat. It's not a time for hiding. It's a time to hear the Lord's call and to come out and to serve Him, to shine His light into very dark places in people's souls, in people's lives, throughout our nation and throughout the world.
Learn more about studying for the vocation of pastor at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. ctsfw.edu or 1-800-481-2155.